Hello and welcome back to another episode of Vikings Happy Hour, sponsored by Lake Monster Brewing, Eastside Jiu-Jitsu, and That's Badass Wood Art. Remember to hit that like and subscribe, folks. We are very close to 3,100 followers, at which point we're giving away some Lake Monster apparel. I still have it. I'm ready to give it away. Just need to hit that 3,100 subscribers. But Miles, they won. It's a weird feeling,
yeah.
But the Vikings did win 19-13 versus the Bears on Sunday. Not their most impressive performance of the season. You could definitely tell that the offense was missing Justin Jefferson a little bit. But a couple things I have for you, and you can take the conversation any way you want. The first thing is Alexander Mattison got the most touches on offense, and that is alarming to me. Especially because I don't think he ran super well. But the other thing I'm going to bring up right off the bat is the Vikings are only one game out from the seventh seed. For the NFC playoffs. So here we go, man.
Yeah.
And a kind of control your own destiny too, right? When you think about you're playing the Packers, the Saints, the Falcons, those are three teams ahead of you.
It's always control your own destiny. That's maybe, literally what.
Maybe the season's looking up.
Here we go. All right. I needed you for that because you're good at that.
Any thoughts though on either one of those?
Yeah, well, I start with Madison. I think it's not surprising. Like I think they went into the game wanting to just like smash mouth football, play action, get the ball out and just kind of win this game like handily, which
yeah,
we know they didn't. But I think they had a plan of going into this game and kind of just controlling the clock, not wanting to do too much. Sustained drives, you know, score a few touchdowns and kind of just play strong defense. It kind of felt like going into this game, that's what that was. So they could kind of re-identify their offense just because with Justin Jefferson out, they have to revamp their offense a little bit. They can't do the same things that they're used to doing with JJ. So it makes sense to me that they'd want to like get Madison more involved, get him more touches. I think the issue though is Madison is more of like a true committee type back than he is like a lead dog in terms of being an explosive, get the ball in his hands all the time and let him control the game type of player. Like, I'm not going to put him, like, I'll say Christian McCaffrey. I only say that because like Christian McCaffrey obviously is the best, arguably the best back in the league, but like he's the type of running back, that skill set that you look for to like control an offense, control a game like that. Madison doesn't really have that true skill set to do that. He's a good committee type back. And I think him and Akers complement each other well, but I don't think Madison's the type of guy that I rely on to like win football games isn't the right word to say it, but I don't rely on him to be the guy to like carry an offense. That's just not, I don't think that's his style. I don't think that's his game, and that's not his fault. That's just kind of who he is as a player. And so I think maybe they misjudged kind of some of that as well, especially as they move forward.
Yeah. I think that the thing that bothered me yesterday with that was, you know, I feel like Cam Akers looks a little bit more, he's got a little bit more burst to him, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so like, I'm fine with having Alexander Mattison out there, you know, for the carries that he gets, because yeah, he's a physical downhill runner. And he can kind of grind out some of those yards, but Akers can kind of beat you to the edge and he's a little bit more shifty. He kind of made a man miss on one of his catches. I don't know. I'd like to see that more committee, you know, 1-2.
Yep.
Last week I think they were kind of swapping drives, which I felt was a fair you know, how they handled those substitutions was a lot better than this week. But yeah, anyway, the offense just in general though did not look very good.
Nobody looked in sync. I think KJ Osborne looked solid like overall, but like nobody really looked like they were ready to kind of like take a bigger role.
Mm-hmm.
I think Addison had his moments, but overall, like I think we shouldn't expect Addison to come in and just kind of like replace or be used to being a wide receiver one in an offense that like as a rookie. But I think
he hauled in that big completion though. We'd be talking a little bit differently, but he looks everything the part that we had hoped for.
Yeah, and Addison's a really good player, and I'm really excited to see how he progresses. I was just excited that like KJ Osborne. Because he struggled this year. I think he just looked more confident. He looked like he was ready to take on a bigger role and kind of like let those games in the past kind of like get behind him and move forward. So I was just excited and happy for him to like see that confidence look like he had that confidence back.
Yeah. The offensive line too, actually, I think did a decent job yesterday.
Dude, this whole line's pretty good.
Yeah, nothing, like, nothing super glaring. I know people were on Ed Ingram the first part of the season, but
Ezra Cleveland got hurt though. I think that's the only part that we could talk about in terms of. I can't remember what they said the injury was. Ankle, maybe
midfoot is what.
Oh, I heard. Foot. Okay, so maybe he's out a little bit. But again, that's why you bring in a Dalton Risner, and I think maybe Risner comes in and you see what he has. And yeah,
I mean, we didn't hear anything from the snaps he played yesterday, which is a good thing. You don't want to hear about your offensive linemen.
Right.
You know, I'm starting to think about this O-line a little bit, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but maybe we were too harsh on them in the early part of the season, just given who we were facing with those dominant defensive lines. Like when you think about the Bucs, when you think about the Eagles, even the Chargers to a certain extent kind of have like bullies on the defensive line. You know, maybe we were just a little bit too harsh on the offensive line. But the other side of that too is our two wins this season are against the two worst teams in the NFC.
And they're very ugly wins.
Yeah. It's not convincing wins. So
no.
I'm on the fence though. If they put in a good performance next week against that 49ers defensive line, I might forgive them for the early part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only reason we really talk a lot about the O-line in general is because of, like, the plays that we did see were the like, massive game-impacting type plays. Like, the fumble from, like, the Ed Ingram helping Kirk cause a fumble, Kirk getting hit and throwing an interception. Like, I think those are the ones that we have to remember that had impact on the game. So then that skews the rest of it. I also think, though, that like Ed Ingram's grades and on like PFF and things have gotten steadily better. And so he might have had some struggles early in the season, but he's starting to put it together, it looks like.
Yeah.
And get some of that consistent and maybe the like push of Dalton Risner, maybe like the push from the coaches to be like, dude, if this doesn't shape up, like, you know, you're gonna be sitting the bench. Like maybe that woke him up a little bit. I'm not saying that like completely changed his game because I think that's really hard to do. I just think repetition and steady coaching, like I think those things and like the team not like completely giving up on him might have helped just overall shape his like mindset. I think it's just been good, positive. And I know it's not just Ed Ingram, but like he's obviously been like the true weak link up until the last couple of weeks. So I think it's been good to just see that steady progression. And that's why they say like across an offensive line, that cohesion, that consistency, keeping those five guys in place can be really important because the longer they play together, the more snaps they like, the more what's the word I'm thinking of? Like the more unity and more chemistry they gain and cohesiveness they gain together. So I think that's super important. So really good to see that. But I think like if Ed Ingram can continue this progress, I think that in itself just solidifies the rest of the offensive line.
Draft class a little bit.
him and Evans. Yeah, it really might.
One thing I want to talk about before we switch to the defensive side of the ball is I don't know how much you're kind of following on Twitter, X, whatever it's not the end all be all, right? Like, people have opinions on players and it is what it is, but TJ Hockenson has gotten a lot of slack, the last couple weeks, flack, not slack. And it's kind of been key drops, I think I'm on the side of like, I think you guys forget how difficult football is. And some of these catches are hard, but at the same time, I do see some points of he is now the highest paid tight end in the NFL and he's expected to make those catches. So where do you stand on TJ Hockenson through the first six games of the year?
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously the road bumps. I think that like, there are other things that he does that probably go unnoticed that he's good at. And obviously we know he's a good player. I just think it's clear that there's just some missteps, like, and maybe some just like confidence issues in catching the football right now, especially through contact and through traffic. And maybe that's from some of the issues that happened earlier, like fumbling those things. Yeah. But, it really feels like, so I'm not going to give him a pass for dropping difficult passes. Not all. So some of the passes are ones that are damn near impossible to catch that might have hit his hands. Like I think
last week was a little more acceptable. this one this week really hit him in the hands.
Yeah, because like I think sometimes people love to say the words, if it hits your hands, you should catch it. It's like, well, there's a lot that goes into that. Like, there's a lot more that goes into, like, if the ball hits your hands, you got to catch it. Like, there's just so much more, like, where your eye location goes, where you think the ball's coming in. Like, a lot of things, right? Location in the pass, like, a lot of things that go into it. But overall, like, yesterday, like, you pay a TJ Hockenson top of market money because you expect him to make some of the harder plays. Not so, like, that doesn't mean you're going to make every difficult play. That doesn't mean all those things. But you want him to step up and kind of be like, you're paying him for future production too, not just like what you traded for him, whatnot, like what he did for you last year. You're trading for him and paying him for future production because you expect him to get better. Yeah. And I think some of those areas is like, you just want to see it. Like, it doesn't mean it won't come. But I do think that like, there's a reason like fans are upset because it's been a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Teddy make an appearance this morning.
Bright and early.
I think I agree. I would like to see a little bit more out of him, you know, in the coming weeks, especially against like teams where this next stretch here. I mean, every game is important, but like if you can steal one against a kind of banged up 49ers team on Monday Night Football next week, you're going to need guys to step
off,
up.
A pissed off 49ers team.
Yeah, which they should be undefeated, but no undefeated teams anymore in the NFL. So that's kind of cool. Let's transition to the defensive side of the ball. Held Chicago to 13 points, fumble recovery, interception, 5 sacks. I mean, they looked, I think I told you this last week, they look like they're kind of coming together a little bit more. They look like they're believing in themselves, and it's translating to on the field. The weird thing is it seems like the defense is now playing better than the offense, which nobody expected heading into this season.
Well, especially against a team like the Bears, like you thought, hey, we hold them to 13 points. This shouldn't be a close game. Like this should be 30-13 type of game. But the defense is the reason that we won that football game yesterday, like point blank period. Yes. Like the turnovers, the sacks, but the turnovers, like you score off a turnover. I don't even know if I would have had confidence in the Vikings scoring off of that turnover if like Hicks doesn't pick that up and run it in. Like that's just where the offense has been at right now. Yeah. I kind of mentioned this on Final Score yesterday, but like when your offense, besides the one touchdown, which came off a turnover from the offense, all the other attempted points on offense were 50 plus yard field goals. That to me is just unacceptable. Like you're not even getting like deep into enemy territory. You're not even doing like you're damn near midfield and relying on your kicker to hit 50 plus yard field goals to score points. Like that for an offense that's supposed to be like, you, like, they brought literally all the other returning players, like cohesion is supposed to be there. Like the little bumps that they've been having just shouldn't be there the way they are. Even that's if you the lose theme, Justin man. Jefferson, like that to me is my issue with offense. So I know we just touched on offense, so I'll stop ranting about them. But like, I think yesterday what bothers me the most is like, they like flipped the script. Like offense, we talked so much about like offense carrying the team, defense not needing to step up. What, if the defense is starting to catch up, the offense needs to keep progressing, and that, it just hasn't been that way. And so, like, the defense played really well yesterday. I was really impressed. I think, obviously, there's some key situational things that still happen, like giving up third down plays to Tyson Bagent, letting that dude run down the field a couple times.
I was going to message you. That's the kid we saw at the Senior Bowl, right? Was he there?
I think that was him. Let me make sure, but I think he might have been there.
Because I was like, no way is this kid going to complete –
Dude, I didn't. Yeah, but like, that's just what we do, man.
I know.
Yeah, he was at the Senior Bowl.
Great. Love that for us.
Uh-oh.
10 of 14, 83 yards. Almost pulled off. Well, yeah,
the couple like crazy throws that you expect from an undrafted free agent rookie.
Sticking on to the defensive side of the ball here, though. Hot takes from Miles Kids this morning. On the Vikings win over the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah, they were super excited. They loved all of it, didn't you?
There's a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball that I want to kind of talk about that have just really impressed me this year. Obviously, Danielle Hunter is one. He's still somehow one of the most underrated players in the NFL. Had 2 sacks yesterday, and I think he now leads the NFL if he's not tied. I'm going to pull it up real quick. If he's not tied for sacks, through 6 weeks, And then the other two guys I want to talk about is obviously a Caleb Evans. I think he's, you know, just really like developing and turning into.
He's a solid, like a consistently solid player for sure.
Yeah, it's been really fun to see. I don't agree with the PI call he got yesterday. I think that was very, very
ticky-tack. Oh, yeah, it was. I was really surprised by that one, too.
Why can I not find sacks here? NFL sacks. He's looked really great. But then somebody who's been, like, secretly good all season long, and it even lingers into last year, Cam Bynum is just – he's really, really impressive.
And Metellus. I think Metellus and Bynum – I've been guys that kind of just been everywhere and like consistently and played well.
It is insane. Danielle Hunter does he's tied with TJ Watt for sacks this season. So great job there. Eight on the year already. That's insane.
Yeah, Hunter's playing really well. But he's like the only one that's consistently getting pressure. And then obviously Wanham's so good at like the free sack, like the free rush. Like
I think Nick Miller said it, but he's always in the right place at the right time.
Always. Like, but he never, it's never him. Like, and this isn't to dog on him, but like, it never really seems like it's Wanham like making the play himself. Like he's finishing, but he's getting a lot of free rushes in those situations. And we're like, and so like the big splash plays come because he gets to, you know, we get to see it from that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I mean, good for him. I'll take, if he wants to continue to be in the right place at the right time, I will take it. The other kind of standout yesterday, Byron Murphy, your guy, I thought he had another really great game. It's nice to just kind of have a couple corners that you can put out there on the outside and really trust that they're going to do what they're supposed to do.
Yep. They're starting to, and we saw Andrew Booth too. I don't know if anything, one sec, bud. I don't know if we saw anything from Mekhi Blackmon. I don't know if there's an injury related or what, but he got outsnapped. Ended up getting, I don't know if he got outsnapped completely, but Booth was playing second half of that game.
Yeah, Booth had two tackles only. I haven't really gone back and looked. I could look at that this morning maybe to see how he played on the All-22. But, yeah, Andrew Booth got some snaps. I think I've officially taken a big L on my early season Lewis Cine conversation. He was a healthy scratch yesterday in Sunday's game versus the Bears. So that's kind of just unfortunate. To see, but yeah, if Andrew Booth can somehow make an impact here as well, I mean, and you got Ingram playing a little bit better. I saw Brian Asamoah back out there, and he had a few pressures.
Asamoah,
is that what it is?
Yeah,
I've been saying it wrong for a year and a half now. I can't believe that. But if those three can kind of turn it up, then you know maybe that 22 class redeems itself a little bit. But the Vikings are 2-4 though. And like I said at the beginning of the show, only one game out of the playoffs. So it's I don't know how to feel.
I don't know how to feel either. That's the difficult part. Is I'm kind of just like they gotta. I said this yesterday. They gotta prove it over more than one game. And this game yesterday was awful. Like they're lucky. The Carolina Panthers and the Bears, the teams that they've beaten. They're lucky that they're as bad as they are because they're not winning. Yeah. You're not beating competent, good football teams otherwise and playing like that they did yesterday. So they need to come like, but they've all year, they've been playing to their opponent, but like, it's just not, it's not impressive. Like, so until they start stringing something together, I'm kind of like going to be not negative, but like just in this, like you need to prove it to me type.
Yeah. And I am not going to stand for, if they somehow beat the 49ers and beat the Packers and they're 4-4, you know, heading into who do they play after that? The Falcons, maybe. You know, if they're 4-4 heading into that Falcons game, I'm not going to take fans being like, well, I told you so. Like, this team has played like garbage in the first half of this season. Yes, they could have won more games than they probably should have. They should have beaten the Bucks. They probably should have beat the Eagles. You could argue they should have beat the Chargers and Chiefs. Like, all of those games were winnable. But I'm not going to sit here and be told that, you know, I was wrong on my assumption of how they were playing, because they're 2-4 and their two wins are against the worst teams in the NFL. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's just it's a weird feeling for the Vikings being 2-4. But there's a – I mean – you lose yesterday and you're in the thick of it for Caleb Williams. You win and you're one game out from the playoffs. So it's a long season, if anything.
For sure.
I think that's what we can take away. Next week, looking ahead for us, next week we play Monday night. So we'll have to figure out what we do with this show.
Yeah, we'll figure some out.
But yeah, I don't have anything else on this team. Happy they won, I think. And we'll see what happens next time. Anything else from you, Miles? Otherwise, we can call this a show.
No, I just got the munchkins running around. So
yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, it's going to be a long day, but that's all right.
Podcasting to dad duty right after this. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Everybody, thank you for watching. Remember to hit that like and subscribe. Nick Miller will be back Tuesday with a Purple Process episode after the Vikings win on Sunday. And then we will be back on Wednesday night. So make sure you like and subscribe. Tune into our YouTube channel. Until next time, Skol Vikings.